Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
So, if you ever done any kind of running at all, right? You're all, ha ha, I heard that, Sylvia. If you've ever trained for a marathon, if you ever ran a marathon, you know that running 10 miles isn't such a big deal, right? If you've ran 26, running 10, it's not a big deal, right? But if you only ever run 3 miles at a time, and then you try to run 26, you ain't going to make it. You're not going to have the endurance for it, right? So we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, and this is the Lord here, and he's talking to Jeremiah, okay? And he tells Jeremiah, he says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the flood plain of the Jordan? What God is saying here, he said, Jeremiah, I have greater dangers for you to encounter than where you're at right now. He was in a place called Anathoth, and the men there were speaking evil of him, and he was getting his feelings hurt a little bit. And so God says, if you're so disturbed with them who are but footmen, how can you even compete with your far greater enemies, which you are likely to meet at Jerusalem? Jeremiah, how can you do this? He says, Anathoth, this place seems to be understood by the land of peace, right? He said, how can you, and in the land of peace, right? So he says, in this land of your friends where you have confidence, and if your enemies meet you there in this land of peace and you faint, what are you going to do when the real persecution comes? What are you going to do when you come against greater trouble, Jeremiah? Because you're really complaining in an area where things are pretty okay. You're in a land of peace. You're having a little bit of opposition and you're complaining to me, Jeremiah. And I have there's greater intense persecution coming for you where I'm about to send you. If you can't handle this, Jeremiah, you ain't going to handle that. Now, this was God himself speaking to the great prophet Jeremiah. So I'm like, whoo, what's he going to say to me? What's he going to say to you? When Pastor Matt was in Egypt, I attended this church, and I met this person up there, and this man, I can't even remember his name now, but he was one of the associate pastors, really nice guy, and he smuggled Bibles into China. And he was in China. He was in this, I don't remember what place he was, but he was there for a couple weeks. And actually, cool story, they had come into a different place, and then they drove 2 suitcases full of Bibles across the border. And they got stopped at a checkpoint, and he said he's just praying the whole time because it's illegal. They'll like either throw you in prison or they'll kill you on the spot for the Bible. And so the guy tells him, open up your trunk. Let me see what's in there. And he goes, he's like, I was done. I was like, this is it, Lord. Here I come. Coming to see you. Open up the suitcases. And the guy literally saw nothing. He saw the Bibles, but the soldier saw nothing. And so he went and he spent 2 weeks with these people, and he said they were in hiding underground. And he said they could only come out after dark to go to church. And then they had to sneak into a village and sneak into a place in order just to meet with the brethren, just to meet to have church. And they put their lives on the line to go to church, just to meet with people. And I was like, wow, look at America. Because that's some intense persecution. And here in America, you know, we treat church like it's just, you know, I could take it or leave it. I don't really need to go. I'm kind of tired today. There's a ball game on. Try telling an American Christian what they should or should not be listening to. Try to tell them where they should and should not go. Try to tell someone that homosexuality is still a sin. In American Christianity, we're going to get a lot of flack. And I'm like, this is the land of peace and prosperity, and I can say what I want to. What's going to happen when the intense persecution comes? I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you are lukewarm in your faith, you're not going to endure. You're not going to make it. There's Christians all over the world that are getting beheaded for their faith. They are getting killed for their faith. And we think, well, someone put a gun to my head, I'd say I'm a Christian. Really? You can't even get up on a Sunday to come to church. These people would rejoice to have a place where they could freely come and freely worship. They rejoice to have that. And we have it, and we treat it like it's nothing. Don't tell me about my faith. Don't tell me what I'm going to do. You can't say nothing to me. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my faith. Good luck. Can you contend with horses? Now, in the book of Revelation, I love the book of Revelation. This is the Church of Philadelphia. This is the faithful church. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. And it says, then to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia, write these words of the Holy One, the true One, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works and what you are doing. See, I've set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Take heed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn that I have loved you, because you have guarded the word of patient endurance. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. In verse 10 he says, because you have kept my command to persevere. The Lord tells us to persevere. Now we sometimes read the Church of Philadelphia and we think, yeah, it's a faithful church. They're a lot like us and they lived in this great place. And I'm like, no. They were under intense persecution from the surrounding areas. Y'all, this was the time of the Roman Empire. And I don't know if people even realize this, is they had these work unions back then. And they were pagan in nature. And if you were not a part of this union, you couldn't work. And part of the union was that you went to temple, the pagan temple of idolatry and sexual morality. And if you refused to be a part of that, you could lose your job, you could lose your family, you could lose your life, you could be thrown in prison. This is what these people faced daily. And the Lord says that they endured perseverance-ing. I'm trying to say that. They endured the opposition. They persevered. They didn't conform to the evil trends of other churches. When you read what was going on in the other churches, they received some severe condemnations from the Lord. But the Philadelphia church remained faithful in the face of intense persecution and opposition. They persevered in loyalty to Christ and the truth of the gospel. So how do we persevere? The first thing is that perseverance requires that you trust that God loves you. And he says it in verse 9. He says, I will make them know that I have loved you. I will make them know that I have loved you. Now, I love this. This is from Oswald Chambers, and I love what he said here. He said, a saint's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see, but our Lord continues to stretch and strain. And every once in a while, the saint says, I can't take anymore, yet God pays no attention. He goes on stretching until his purpose is in sight, and then he lets the arrow fly. Entrust yourself to God's hands. See, faith is not some weak and pitiful emotion. It is strong and vigorous. It is active and alive. And it is built on the fact that God loves me, God cares for me, that I am his child. 1 Peter 1:6 through 7 says, In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he tells us our faith is going to be tested by fire. Right? We're going to go through trials. This does not mean that God has forsaken you. See, that's just quite the opposite. Trials test and strengthen our faith. Our faith is being tried as gold so we can come out pure. And so the Lord is allowing these things to happen to us because he loves us. He cares about us. I have walked with a lot of people through a lot of different things. I have walked with people that have lost spouses. I have walked with people that have lost children. I have walked with people that have lost all their money. I've walked with a lot of people through a lot of different things, okay? And those that overcame were the ones that relied on God's love for them even when they did not feel it. Because you don't always feel like it. You don't always feel it. You have to know you're his child, that he cares for you. When you're going through this intense opposition, if you don't know God cares for you, you're not going to make it. You're going to get angry. You're going to get bitter. You're going to come against God instead of running to God. God cares for me when I'm walking through this. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Right? And I can guarantee you there ain't nobody here that has gone through what Job went through. I've never met one person in my life that went through what Job went through. You may feel like it, but you haven't gone through what Job went through. Probably should read what he went through. See, we are called to be childlike, not childish. I didn't know I was going to get that kind of a response. All right. We're called to be childlike, not childish. Right? We have to move past this childish mentality that's constantly falling into despair every time we go through something. Right? Why, God, have you forsaken me? That's childish. That is childish. A childlike person says, God, I know you love me. I know you care for me, God. I don't like this right now and it hurts right now, but I know you're there and I know you're going to see me through and I know you're with me and I know you won't leave me and I know you're going to you won't forsake me. That is childlike. When will you rest in his love for you? When will you realize that you are his child if you are in Christ? His love for you cannot be measured, and he cares more about you and your circumstances than you do. I mean, really, right? We always tell her, I mean, I care more about what my kid goes through than they do. Yes. He cares more about what we're going through than we do. Yes. He has got every single detail taken into place. Like, I'm not even thinking that far. He's working it out. Yet you cannot know his love for you if you do not know and understand him. And this only comes through prayer and reading of the Word of God. Right? In verse 8, he said, you have kept my word. The Word of God is so important and is coming under attack right now. It is coming under an intense attack right now. You have got to get into your word. You've got to get into your word. You have to know what he says about you. You have to know that he cares about you. You have to know that he loves you. You have to know that you're his child. Otherwise, when the first opposition comes, you're going to be that little toddler. Oh, why'd you forsake me? And the Lord's like, come on, man. We've gone through this before. You came out before. Did I do it before you before? Right? During his 40 years of ministry, Jeremiah would suffer intense persecution. He was thrown into the dungeon. He was beaten. He was put in stocks. He was threatened. Tradition teaches that he was stoned to death. Despite the opposition he faced, he remained true to the message God gave him. He confronted the Jews with their rebellion and called them to confess their sins, accept responsibility, and ask God for forgiveness. As God directed him, he spoke words of comfort to people facing disaster. You have kept my word. You have kept my word. Paul suffered great opposition. 2 Corinthians 11:22 through 28, Paul says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. Why doesn't he just say 39? That's what I'm always just like. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I don't know. I want to be getting back on a ship. Night and day I've been in the deep, 26 in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Yet he knew the Lord had not forsaken him. You don't ever once, Paul, say, oh, Lord, why'd you forsake me? No, he says, I can do all things. Yeah. That's what the all things means. Yeah. He said, through intense persecution, through the shipwrecks, through the beatings, through the stonings, I can do all things. Yes. I can do all things. He knew the Lord loved him. 2 Corinthians 4:9, persecuted but not forsaken. But not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Yes. Not destroyed. God has not left you alone just because you're suffering. Right. Endure hardship. Right? If you can't run that 3 mile, you ain't running a marathon. Second thing, perseverance requires faith in God's ability to deliver. Perseverance is more than endurance, more than simply holding on to the end. It is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that God will do what he said he would do. it's not just to endure, just to endure. I'm going to endure just to endure. I'm enduring. It's with a firm assurance that God will do what he said he would do. God will do what he said he would do. Do you trust that the end of your trial will result in a victory? Right? Revelation 3:12, he says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. This is a promise. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of the heaven, in my own new name. That's a promise of God. That's a promise. Do you trust that because Christ overcame the cross, we can overcome all things? Do you trust him to see you through to the end and deliver? Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want you to stop there. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Can we just get the fact that God told us that we would be afflicted? And then he says, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. He didn't say some. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 34:22. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you trust that he's working something out through this affliction and that he will see you into the promised land? Or you will you be like Israel? Will you die in your wilderness because you didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do? Right? And this was Israel's problem. They believed in God. They didn't believe God. They didn't take God at his word. They believed in him. They knew he existed. They said, God, he was there. He existed. They heard him speak. They saw him open the Red Seas. They got manna from him. They were fed. They knew he was. They didn't believe his word. They didn't believe his word. And so they died in the wilderness. They didn't take him at his word. And so they failed to enter the promised land. Perseverance is looking past the suffering of the cross to the joy on the other side. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Right? And Jeremiah was giving the people here hope that God would restore them as a nation after 70 years of captivity. They were going into 70 years of captivity. And Jeremiah told them that. Said, judgment is coming. And you are not repenting, and so you're going into captivity, but God wants you to know that at the end of that, he's going to restore you as a people and as a nation. That was the hope that God said to them, that they would be restored as a people, they'd be restored as a nation. This is why I love the book of Revelation. It's the culmination of all things. Right? I don't know why people don't want to read it. Like, oh, it scares me. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's the marriage supper of Jesus and the bride. Yes. It's my end. I'm like, it is victorious. Jesus overcomes. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and I get to dwell with him forever. Why would you stay away from that? Why would you not read that? That is my end. That is your end if you endure. If you persevere, that is our end. That is the deliverance that God promises us. Right? God has the final word and his plan remains intact no matter what I experience here on earth. No matter what I experience here on earth. The problem is that we get too attached to this earth thing right here. We get too attached to this stuff. We get too attached to our homes. We get too attached to our family. And we start living like this is our home. But we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be strangers and pilgrims, just traveling through. I got a place to go to. I'm heaven bound. This world isn't my home. Persevere through the pain. See, the people that will make it are able to overcome their own pain. They don't stop doing the work of the Lord just because they're in pain. Folks, Paul was stoned with big rocks. Can we just get over that? Right? The women, you know this. I think Pastor John preaches at the men's thing too. And Kaya said this at the women's event. And it's from Black Hawk Down. So have you ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, right? And I always remember this in Black Hawk Down. And, you know, all these guys are shot. They're getting a Humvee to run off, you know. And the one guy's like, hey, get in the driver's seat. And he goes, man, I can't drive. I'm shot. And the other guy goes, we're all shot. Just drive. Right? And I'm like, dude, we're all in pain. We've all been through things. Just go. Just keep moving. You know, I mean, I can look around you and tell you the pain that I know that my husband's been in, the pain that I know that Pastor Jay's been in, the pain that I know that Sylvie O'Neill's been in, the pain that I myself have been in. And I'm like, but I keep going. Because I have a race to run. I'm going to endure through this. And God is going to see me through to the other side. Number three, persevere even when the work cannot be seen by others. Right? In verse 8, the Lord says, I know your works. And I'm like, that's enough for me. It should be enough for us that he knows, right? He says, I know your works. You know, and I get it. This can be a really tough one for people, right? We're toiling in the heat of the day, right? Working for the Lord. No one sees you tilling the soil. No one knows the work that you've done. No one knows what you've put in. No one knows what you've done for the Lord, right? You don't get much encouragement. You persevere anyways. You don't get a stop because no one's watching. Because guess what? There is one that's watching. And he's always watching. He says, I know your works. Now, for some of us, that should scare us a little bit. Because we're like, ooh, I ain't been plowing. Jesus knows our works. And that's all that should matter. Right? No one will ever know all you do for the Lord. No one's ever going to see how much prayer time you put in interceding for others. No one will ever see that. No one doesn't see your prayer time. Right? Tammy's not even here tonight. Man, Tammy's a prayer warrior. She intercedes for people all the time. The Lord wakes her up in the middle of the night praying for people. No one sees that. Nobody knows that. Right? Most of y'all don't even know what Pastor Aubrey does around here. I don't even know what she does, but... I know that things don't get done unless she does it. Right? No one knows what work, no one knows your work, but he does. He knows our work, and we have to persevere through that. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Jeremiah's work was only for the Lord. He had a hard message that no one would receive. And they laughed and scorned him. Look at Jeremiah 7:27. He says, therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. I'm like, great. You shall also call to them, but they won't answer you. He's God's telling Jeremiah here. He's like, Jeremiah, man. He's like, you got to do what I tell you to do, but they ain't going to listen to you. You still gotta say it. You still gotta preach it. You still gotta do it. Yet he still had to continue, even though he wasn't received and he wasn't appreciated. See, I understand Jeremiah. I understand Jeremiah. It's hard to preach sometimes the word that God gives you to preach. It absolutely is. It's hard as a prophet to speak a word into somebody's life that you know that they don't want to hear. It's hard. It is. It's hard. I ain't gonna lie. I've cried before telling people things. But my work is for the Lord. You gotta do it unto the Lord. Number four, perseverance requires the help of the body. Revelation 3:7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia." The church in Philadelphia. He wasn't talking to the individual. He was talking to the church. The church. And when he uses "you" in it, it's a collective "you." It's a collective "you." Guess what? You were never meant to do this work alone. We weren't meant to do it alone. People are like, "Oh, Jeremiah was alone." Well, in some respects, but you know what? He was called and anointed for a specific assignment during a specific period of history. We are not in the Old Testament, folks. We're under a different dispensation. There are no more Old Testament prophets. If you tell me you're an Old Testament prophet, I'm going to say you're born in the wrong generation. Jeremiah was alone, but he still had some he relied on. The prophetess Huldah was a relative and contemporary of Jeremiah, while the prophets Zephaniah and Isaiah were his mentors. So I'm sure he drew strength from these people. Prophets gather, right? You gather. He didn't do it just alone, just because it doesn't actually say that. We are supposed to move and operate within the body, and we gain strength from one another. This is the New Testament church. We're supposed to move and operate within the body. That's what we're supposed to do. And people say, you know, and I hear this all the time, "Well, isn't my salvation personal? It's my personal Jesus, my personal salvation." And I'm like, well, while your salvation may be between you and Jesus, because one day you're going to stand before him, you and Jesus alone, how you walk it out is not. How you walk out your salvation is not personal. Your faith is not personal. Thank you, sister. It's not. Right? We John 3:16. "For God so loved the others." It doesn't say "for God so loved himself." It doesn't, right? "For God so loved himself." No, "for God so loved others that he gave." 1 John 2:6 says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked," as Jesus walked. 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Oh, the church. The brethren is your church. Those people in Christ. The global church, yes, but there's a local body as well. But your brethren are those in Christ. Those are the ones that we are supposed to lay down our lives for. This same theme is Jesus preached in Matthew 25, where he separates the sheep and the goat. And he says, "As little as you've done it to these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Right? Jesus said, "I know my sheep follow me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me." Sheep are his brethren, those in Christ. And so he says, "You hear my sheep, you have taken care of one another. When someone was down, you helped them. When someone lost everything, you took them in. When someone was hungry, you fed them. You fed my brethren, you took care of the house of God." It's reiterated when Jesus spoke to Peter. What did he say to Peter? He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And what did he say? "Feed my sheep." Take care of my sheep, Peter. Take care of my brethren. Take care of those in Christ. Make sure that they are good and they are sound. Make sure they're taken care of, Peter. That's how we show him we love him. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." I met this man, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to meet him, and his name is Theodore Yonke. And He shared a testimony with us. He is from Africa. He goes to Peter and Dieta's church over in Philadelphia, and he was here for Peter and Shaihan's wedding. And so he had shared that his parents either died or abandoned him or something when he was really young, and he was orphaned, and his uncle took him in. And so when he was a teenager, he heard a salvation message, and he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And his uncle, and he said his uncle had tears in his eyes, and his uncle said to him, he said, "You have to choose me or Jesus." And Theodore chose Jesus. And he said, I choose Jesus. And so his uncle kicked him out of the house. And he said, "It was the church that took me in." Now, it was a couple in the church, but you know what? If the couple in the church, it's the church. If anyone has done something for you in the body, it's the church. If anyone serves you, it's the church. If anyone gives you money, it's the church. Right? We are the church. I've had, Pastor Matt and I, we've had people actually say to this as they walk the door, "Well, you never did anything for me." And I'm like, "Really?" Because I know I can say this person did this, this person did this, this person did this, this person did this, this person paid your rent. That's the church. That's the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church. If one person does it for you, that's the church doing it for you. That's the church doing it for you. Right? Well, and I just got to throw this in. Besides all that, Pastor Matt and I planted this church, so it wouldn't even be here without us. I just got to throw that in. You never did anything for me. The last one. The only way to contend with horses by looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance." There it is, with perseverance, with endurance, the race that is set before us. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We have to be daily drawing from the well. We have to be daily going to Jesus. If we're going to persevere, we got to go to Jesus. If you're going to persevere in prayer, go to Jesus. If you've fallen, go to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That is our source of living water. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus if you're going to persevere. You have to have water to run. Oh. Can you contend with horses? And I really want us to think about this, because I just believe that there is persecution coming for the church. And it's been slowly creeping in, and it's coming. It's coming. You know, and my prayer and hope that every one of us endure, that we are a Philadelphia church, right? That collective body that the Lord says that collectively you have been faithful collectively. You have overcame collectively. You have held to my word collectively. Right? And it's going to take all of us. It's all of us working together as a body. Making sure we're staying connected to Jesus, our eyes fixed on him. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word, Lord. God, I thank you that you give us the strength to endure, God. You give us the strength to persevere through every affliction, every opposition, God, every persecution, Father. You give us the strength to go through that, Lord. And I pray for those tonight, God, that are going through affliction, Father God, that you would ease their pain and ease their suffering, God, that they would soar above their storm, Lord, on wings as eagles, Father God, that they would feel your peace, the peace that passes all understanding, God, as they keep their eyes and mind on you, Lord. that you bring them that peace into their lives, Father God. I pray for those that are running on empty would be filled tonight, Father. That you would fill them tonight, Father God. Lord, I pray for those that were convicted, God, that they would turn that conviction into endurance and perseverance in the name of Jesus. If you're convicted, it's a good thing. It means the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And we want that conviction. We need that conviction. Father God, we thank you and praise you, Lord. God, we repent of any laziness, Lord, just that spiritual laziness that we get into in our lives, Father God, that we would run with endurance the race that you have set before us, Father, with endurance, God. We just give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your kids, church Sunday, 9 and 11. Anything going on else?
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.